Christendom in the Ukraine, January 2019, a wake-up call. As I write and as I read this article, January 2019, the BBC reports that the Orthodox Church of the Ukraine has separated from the Russian Orthodox Church. In its commentary, vividly illustrated with enlightening photographs and videos, the BBC raises the political and military consequences of the move, not only for the two nations involved, Russia and the Ukraine, but for the Balkans in general. I want to comment very briefly. In this article, I am not interested in the political or the military. I am concerned with the spiritual. But even here, I am not going to write about the plethora of priestly gold, gems, vestments and such like on display, nor the brazen idolatry evident in the garish, iconic apparatus of sacramental sacerdotalism. No. What strikes me, and what I want to draw attention to, is the way this event sheds light yet again on what happens when men follow the fathers, Constantine and Theodosius, and not Scripture, even when they don't have a clue about the history. Let me explain. In the 4th century, these two Roman emperors, Constantine and Theodosius, in league with the bishops of the Catholic Church, invented Christendom. The seeds of this cockatrice had been sown by the fathers in the previous centuries, with their many departures from the new covenant, and their increasing return to the old covenant. These two emperors simply nationalized. Indeed, they empirized the monstrosity and gave it legal and political status. Once established, however, Christendom proved to have a powerful life of its own, and it wasn't long before its tentacles were spreading far, wide and deep, grasping to itself more and more of Western culture. Contrary to what a great many people think, contrary to what a growing number of people think, the time of the fathers, men who lived mainly in the 2nd to 5th centuries AD, by and large, proved to be a time of disaster for the Church of Jesus Christ. While not all that they did was bad, nevertheless, the fathers took a series of steps which inflicted massive and lasting damage on the Church. But this innovation, Christendom, stands head and shoulders above all the rest in terms of the devastating effect it has had on the Gospel and the Church of Jesus Christ, to say nothing of the eternal consequences for the millions reared in it. Another way of looking at this is to think of Christendom as an envelope holding all the other innovations. So serious was this invention of Christendom, some discerning believers down the centuries have given it a name, the Fall of the Church. I fix no precise date to the invention of Christendom. This is not possible. It didn't happen overnight, it was a process. But in broad outline, within a few years of the so-called conversion of the Roman Emperor Constantine, he and the fathers had put in place, or did a great deal towards putting in place, the monstrosity. What is Christendom? It is that grotesque, satanic system, that conglomeration of church and state in which citizenship and church membership are one and the same, in which millions of unregenerate babies are, so say, made so-called Christians by so-called priests or so-called ministers, who exercise sacramental powers through baby sprinkling, these babies then being called Christians and church members and treated as such at birth, throughout life, and at death. Christendom has proved Satan's masterstroke. By it, the arch-enemy of souls has deluded millions of men and women for 1800 years, even to their eternal ruin. He is making use of it to this very hour. Contemporary evangelicals have, to a certain extent, dispensed with one of the curses of Christendom, national church-state corruption enforced by the magistrate that is, government edict, the law enforced by the police, only to replace it with another. Many of them have devised or adopted a replacement, namely a church-stroke-community system, church-social, instead of church-state. They have done this in order to attract pagans into church attendance, in order to evangelize them. And so we now find ourselves being advised, urged, to adopt this latest development of Christendom thinking. Consequently, we find ourselves at the opening of a new chapter in the dismal history of Christendom, with men like Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, Timothy Keller, and Ray Evans et al. In the van of this latest extension of Constantinian practice. But accommodation of the church to and with the world, and at bottom this is what it is, always leads to the world's assimilation of the church. Let me repeat that by restating it. The church might like to think it can cherry-pick from the world, but the world is all the while swallowing the church. Well, recent happenings in the Ukraine, the grotesque scenes of politicians and priests, particularly the heads of state, and the Orthodox Church hand in hand, have exhibited for all who have eyes to see one of the appalling consequences of Christendom. It has put it on the giant screen in the public square, splashing it across the world's media. And the sight of the head of the Ukrainian state and the head of the Orthodox Church living in each other's pocket is sickening. Sickening, that is, to anyone who longs for the scriptural simplicity of the ecclesia. Not that they will pay any attention to me, of course, but let me advise both men and their successors. History shows us that there cannot be two top dogs. As I say, this monstrosity, Christendom, has been ruling the roost for millions for the best part of 1800 years, and history has a habit of repeating itself. These two so-called friends will soon fall out if they haven't begun to do so already behind the scenes. They will struggle for dominance. Historically, the state has sometimes ruled the church. At other times, the church has ruled the state. It will happen again. So what has all this to do with us? In my title, I spoke of a wake-up call. A wake-up call for whom? For all evangelical believers. The fact is, all these Ukrainian shenanigans are much closer to home and are far more serious and pertinent than a mere historical quirk taking place in a faraway country of which, to accommodate Neville Chamberlain's infamous words in the late 1930s, most of us, in the UK in his day, he meant, know nothing. State churches, national churches, denominations, associations, and all such federations are inventions of men and have been foisted upon Scripture. Every sight of the church turning to the world and fawning upon it is appalling. Christendom is Satan's tool. Away with the abomination, back to Scripture, back to the New Covenant. We shouldn't touch the beast with a barge pole. This should be the response of evangelicals. Alas, it is not. At least, not for a growing number. In particular, I deplore the present fraternization between many evangelical churches and the world. I deplore the way many believers look to the state to pass laws to bolster a decaying Christendom. I abominate the way evangelicals are seeking the world's advice and adopting the world's methods in order to try to reach sinners. All such goings-on are playing with fire, and he who plays with fire is liable to get his fingers and more burnt, and it won't be the world that has to be taken to the casualty ward.